Hello, this is Elizabeth, and I'm really excited today to share with you something that's on my heart regarding framing your child's profile, or for short, what I like to call the HOPE formula. So the HOPE formula goes something like this. Oh, but wait, you might want a piece of paper if you're not driving and a pencil or pen. Please be sure to grab a utensil you enjoy using because that helps your brain hold on to the information better. Little side note here, my favorite thing to write with is a sharp, old-fashioned pencil with a good eraser. So with your utensil in hand, here's what I'd love for you to jot down. First, we want to create a basic table with the following areas. One area will be what are my child's basic strengths, or major strengths, I should say. Secondly, what are my child's area of mid-level ability? In other words, they're not areas of great weakness, nor the areas of great strength. They don't cause your child much frustration. They're there, but they're neither huge abilities nor great deficits. So make a little section for that in your table. Next, I would like for you to jot down the areas of your child's weakness, but we're going to categorize these areas. We're going to categorize them into four subdomains. So on your table, you'll need four subsections within your third area. So once again, on your table, you want a section that says, what are my child's strengths? And those will be their areas of natural ability or interest or aptitude, what I like to call their bright, brilliant stars in their constellation of strengths and weaknesses. Secondly, I want you to identify your child's areas of middle ground. In other words, these are areas that are not particularly weak nor particularly strong. And they can be academic or non-academic, anything. We're going to be painting a picture of your child as a whole person. So we will not limit what we jot down to just academics or learning areas. We're going to include as much as we can about your child. And then lastly, that third area, which has four subdomains, is the areas of weakness. Where is your child struggling? And so with this third area, we have four subcategories. Here are your four subcategory headers. The first one is psychological considerations. I'll repeat that, psychological considerations. The second is executive function abilities. And the third would be cognitive abilities. And the fourth would be academic skills. So I'm going to repeat those four. Within the areas of weakness, we're going to categorize things about your child's psychological profile. Secondly, their executive function profile. Thirdly, their cognitive abilities profile. And fourthly, their academic skills. So let's go back to the top of the table. What are my child's strengths? Here, I would love for you to write down all the areas where your child shines. Does your child have an outgoing personality? Are they helpful? Are they kind? Are they receptive to learning things outdoors? Are they athletic? Do they love to listen to music? Are they helpful in the kitchen? Do they seem to be coordinated with their hands? Do they have good gross motor coordination? Do they learn math concepts with ease? You name it, if it's an area of notable strength, whether it's academic related, personality related, or just life in general, jot those strengths down. Those are your child's areas of natural ability, natural interest, natural aptitude. Those are your child's bright stars within his or her constellation of strengths and weaknesses. Secondly, you're going to identify your child's area of mid-level ability. These are things, like I mentioned earlier, they're not necessarily huge strengths, nor are they notable deficits. So wherever your child is fine, working or producing, or whether it's learning related or just life in general, jot down the things that don't cause much frustration, but yet they're not a number one strength or area of interest. So this can be anything related to school, related to music, related to extracurriculars, relating to helping at home, related to social interactions, anything at all, whether it's academic, extracurricular, or character-wise, jot down those mid-level areas. Those are the stars in your child's constellation of strengths and weaknesses. They're not necessarily bright and brilliant because they're more average, but they're also not too small. They're not too dim or hard to see. They're kind of in the middle, and they don't tend to cause your child undue stress, difficulty, or frustration, but they're not necessarily your child's number one fun thing to do. For example, if your child is great at building Legos with or without a model, that's going to go in the first part of your table, not this middle section. But But if your child is willing to do math without complaint, but it's not his or her favorite thing to do, and yet it doesn't frustrate him or her, that would go in this middle part of the table. Then our third section, we're going to identify and categorize your child's areas of weakness. So in our four subdomains under the areas of weakness for your child, we have the psychological profile, the executive function ability profile, the cognitive ability profile, and the academic skills. So let's take each of these for just a moment. Under the psychological profile, you're going to list the areas of weakness. Is your child not motivated to read, for example? And be as specific as you can. But this area is related to psychological things, motivation, persistence. Do they struggle with anxiety? Does there seem to be any kind of depression? Is there any kind of task avoidance going on? Things that relate more to their mental and emotional approach to things. That's going to fall into this category. So if you notice they tend to be anxious whenever they need to write, you would jot that down here. If you notice that they seem to be more depressed this year related to school and maybe even life in general, that will go here as well. If you've noticed they've lost their motivation and they're just not working as hard anymore when you're doing homeschooling activities or in the classroom, anything related to the school environment, jot that down here. If you notice a lack of persistence with certain types of tasks, for example, while they might persist with anything outside or athletically related, maybe you're seeing a lack of persistence with anything involving household chores or writing or reading or doing math, whatever it might be. Be specific to identify the psychological area and where you see it manifest itself. Now we're going to move to the executive function part of this area. When we talk about executive function, we're referring to a couple of things. One is the child's ability to attend, to focus on the task at hand, to mentally regulate their energies so that they can focus on and stay on task. It also relates to their ability to control for lack of focus. In other words, their inhibition controls. Maybe they need to do their reading, but they really want to go and watch a TV program. So if they struggle with inhibition, they tend to not follow through or complete tasks. They tend to lose focus. Executive function relates to the child's ability to self-regulate their mental and emotional energies to follow through on the task at hand, even if they don't feel like it. Executive function also involves cognitive flexibility, their ability to switch from one task to another or one subtask to another subtask within an overarching task. And then thirdly, executive function also relates to working memory. If your child struggles to remember information and hold on and do something with that information or to respond to information meaningfully, he or she may be struggling with working memory. Think of executive function as your child's ability to manage and plan and focus and complete tasks, their ability to run their ship. Now, of course, as a child, we don't expect them to do it all on their own, but as they get older, they have more and more responsibilities. Their ability to organize their thinking, to stay focused, to regulate their emotions, to flex from one area to another as appropriate, to transition, and also to remember what they're doing. Those all relate to executive function. So if your child struggles with self-regulation, such as regulating their attention or regulating their emotions, jot that down here, that that's an area of challenge. If your child struggles to transition from one task to another without undue frustration or too much time lost, then jot that down here as well. If you notice your child struggles with working memory, having the necessary memory to stay engaged with tasks, to follow through with activities or directions that are given to them, you would also jot that down here. Difficulties with executive function make it much more challenging for a child to sustain the focus and the engagement to follow through meaningfully on tasks that are school or non-school related. Now, of course, sometimes they do better with executive function in preferred tasks, something they like doing, such as playing outside or video games or building with Legos, in contrast to something they may not want to do, such as writing or reading or studying for a test. So in our third subdomain underneath your child's areas of weakness, we're going to jot down cognitive ability concerns. Cognitive abilities include verbal intelligence, nonverbal intelligence, visual spatial intelligence, and a few others. But first, let me tackle these first few. Verbal intelligence relates to your child's ability to use oral language and to learn just by living life and being exposed to events and places and people around them. It consists of their acquired fund of knowledge, what they've learned by living, and also their ability to verbally communicate and to understand language coming at them. So if your child has any weaknesses with verbal processing, verbal intelligence, you would jot that down here. Secondly, there's nonverbal reasoning or nonverbal intelligence, and that relates more to using logic, deductive logic, inductive logic, reasoning, raw reasoning. It doesn't necessarily rely on facts that you've learned, but given information, can you reason with that information and come to a logical conclusion? So if your child struggles with nonverbal intelligence, you would jot that down here, such that if they struggle to think logically or to reason deductively or inductively, you would jot that down as a weakness here. Then also under cognitive abilities, does your child seem to struggle with processing speed? When it comes to listening to information, reading information or writing information, or just processing oral language, is there any slowness with processing speed? They might be very fast to move their body and fast to process athletically, but yet be slow to process information, oral information, or written information. So if they struggle with any of those, jot that down here too. Then we go to working memory or memory function at large. Memory has a number of different subdomains, but let's talk about just a few of them. There's auditory working memory span, which is their ability to remember what they've just heard. If they struggle with that, jot that down here. That would be a weakness with auditory memory span. If they struggle to remember and act on what you've said, for example, if you've just taught them how to multiply two-digit numbers, but yet they struggle to remember that information well enough to go and do the problem, they're struggling with auditory working memory and just regular working memory, which is holding on to it in their mind and working with or manipulating that information. Also, your child may struggle with long-term retrieval, which means they may or may not hold on to something for the short term, but they are definitely struggling to hold on to it for the long term. So if you explained something an hour ago and you went over it using a couple of examples, and yet they now, an hour later, cannot remember the information or apply it effectively, they may be struggling with long-term retrieval or the ability to consolidate new learning. So if that's an area of difficulty, jot that down here as well. And then the last of the four subcategories underneath your child's areas of weakness would be academic skills. And these are concrete academic skills, such as difficulty with decoding words, difficulty with sight words, difficulty with spelling, difficulty with handwriting, difficulty with comprehending what they read, difficulty with math facts, difficulty with math fractions, difficulty with science vocabulary, specific things that we measure in a school or homeschooling environment quite often. If those academic skills are what I like to call outcome variables, if those are challenging for your child, jot down those areas of weakness or challenge. So you might be thinking at this point, Elizabeth, you've just spent a lot of time asking me to write down my child's areas of weakness. Yes and no. You see, when we put it in writing and we can look at this table, this hope formula at large, we will see, okay, at the beginning, what are my child's strengths? What are those brilliant, blazing, bright stars of ability? You see, we're going to take those areas of natural strength and ability, and we're going to leverage them to work on areas of weakness. Secondly, those stars that are kind of mid-level, not great strengths, not great weaknesses, we can relax knowing if my child is able to do these things, I know my child is capable of learning others, even if they're in areas of weakness. And then in our third section of the table, the one with the four subcategories, we're going to look at the psychological profile and we're going to ask ourselves, if my child is struggling with anxiety, with math or with reading or something else, what can I do in the home environment if I'm home educating? Or what can I talk to the teacher about within the classroom environment? Or if I am the teacher in the classroom environment, what can I do to reduce some of the anxiety? There are basic things like repeating information, providing visual cues, allowing for extra time, providing oral information. These are things you can do to reduce anxiety, removing timed constraints, and so forth. So you're going to look at that list of psychological abilities, the weaknesses therein, and go through them one by one and ask yourself, what can I do specifically for each of these to reduce the load and to provide support to my child or to my student? And then with executive function, the same thing applies. Look at that list and ask yourself, what can I do to support my child or my student in these areas of difficulty. For instance, if your child has struggled with cognitive flexibility, switching from one task to the next, you might let them know ahead of time, here is the plan. We're going to go from A to B to C and so forth, providing them with a visual schedule or providing them with breaks in between tasks and so forth. And you'll do the same for the cognitive abilities. If there are weaknesses there with oral language, with verbal processing, with memory, ask yourself, what can I do with each of these to strengthen them? And you may not know what to do for all of them, but this is the first place to start. And that is, think about, identify, and organize all of the information about your child in this hope formula. And I call it a hope formula because as you first think about your child's strengths and bright, strong stars and allow that to be the context for thinking about your child's areas of average ability and then your child's areas of natural weakness, if you can think about your child's profile this way, you will be encouraged knowing, okay, my child does have many strengths. I've put them down on this piece of paper, but I also know my child has weaknesses and I have specifically delineated them category by category. And now I can see them in writing. And instead of being overwhelmed by my child's profile as a whole, I can go step by step and incrementally address each of these areas, bringing in professional support as needed. And through this process, you will find your hope as the teacher, as the parent, encouraged, and you'll have a roadmap. You'll understand your child's profile better and have a specific framework that represents your child's areas of strength and weakness. And with this information in written form, you won't have to worry as much because you will have in writing in front of you, here's what I know about my child or my student. And now I can begin to systematically work on those areas of weakness. If that means doing it on your own, great. If that means partnering with some other people to assist you, that's great as well. But now you have a hope formula in your hands to remind your heart, yes, your child's brain is definitely beautiful. Your student's brain is absolutely beautiful. But now you're empowered to begin to work on those areas of weakness while leveraging those areas of strength, day by day, moment by moment, helping your child move from frustration and discouragement to more and more and more success.